Well, we had an exciting time last year. We came into the office. I made it one of my goals to reduce the fees that families are paying when they're saving for their kids' college education. We want more of the dollars families are putting aside to actually go to their kids' education and not going to making bankers richer. So one of our two contracts was up. We renegotiated it. We lowered fees by 57%, and that resulted in a credit rating upgrade to our Bright Directions plan. I know a lot of people hear the news coming out of Illinois and can't believe the state would get anything but a credit downgrade, but this was one example by sitting down, negotiating, listening to the other side. We were able to make the program better. We were rewarded by being named by Morningstar one of the top two advisor-sold plans in the country.
How is enrollment in those plans right now?
Enrollment has been increasing. That's another thing that we've focused very much on in my office. You know, I think in the past we did some marketing towards high net worth families. They're the easier ones. They have more to save. But we want more lower income families putting some money aside for their kids' college education. It doesn't matter how much you're saving. You can start an account for as little as $25. Studies show that kids who know they have a college savings account in their name are 7 times more likely to attend college. And that's because they know that someone believes in them, someone is investing in them, and they don't want to disappoint. Too often, if you tell a kid, get those ideas out of your head. We're not college people. We can't afford it. The kids listen to that, and that's what they do. They live down to those standards.
Now, that money, can it be used at any higher education institution nationwide?
Any accredited institution of higher education in the country. You can use it at a university. You can use it for community college. If there's a technical program or a trade program that your son or daughter wants to go through, it's good for all of those. It just has to be an accredited institution.
I know another thing your office has been working on this year, with all the news about Wells Fargo and some of the accounts that were opened for customers unknowingly. They did not give their permission to do that. Your office suspended business with Wells Fargo earlier this year. If you could just walk us through that decision, why did you decide to do that, and maybe what are the effects of that decision?
Yeah, we thought it was important to send a strong message, not just to Wells Fargo, but to other financial institutions out there. What Wells Fargo was doing was they were opening up unauthorized, secretive accounts, about 2 million of them in their customers' names, in order to collect additional fees and to boost some of their numbers. We think that was wrong. It was clear the federal government thought it was wrong, but we wanted them to know and other banks know their consequences. I'm the state's chief investment officer. I can make decisions about where we invest our money. We have lots of options. We don't want to invest with companies that are abusing their customers' trust. We don't want to invest in companies that are engaging in unethical or illegal behavior. And we said, we're going to stop doing investment activity with this bank until they can demonstrate that they have made real substantive changes, put internal controls in place so this never happens again. If after a year they've made good changes and they've demonstrated that they're going to be good corporate citizens, then we'll work with them again in the future.
What's the timeline on that then? When is that year up?
We said we would put a moratorium in place for a year, and we started that this fall. So we have still about over half a year left to monitor them. And some of the suggestions we've made to them, they've acted upon. We told them they needed to separate the CEO and the chairman of the board. They were in one person. We thought that was reflected better corporate governance practices. They've made some other changes going on, and we're monitoring. And our hope is that not just Wells Fargo, but other banks are noticing this, and they're not only following the law, they're being ethical and good towards their customers. Because, as I said, we have a choice about where we make investments, and we're going to choose to invest with good corporate citizens.
I know that some legislation your office was behind earlier this year had to do with life insurance and companies paying out money that was owed to beneficiaries of life insurance. If you could just walk us through that legislation and why you think it was important.
Yeah, this may be surprising to some of your listeners because I know it was surprising to me. When we came in, we discovered there were some life insurance companies that had reason to believe their policyholders had died, but they had not paid out the benefits. No, we just thought that's wrong. I don't know anyone who buys a life insurance policy with the idea that the money is going to be kept by the insurance company. They make those premium payments because there's someone they love, someone they want to take care of when they're no longer here. And we want to make sure that that life insurance company who promised to take care of their loved ones follows through on their promise. So in this last year, we passed legislation that's going to make it much more likely that it happens. The insurance companies twice a year have to check their list of policyholders against a federal death master file. And if they see someone on there, they have to notify the beneficiaries and let them know you are owed some money. Because we're not talking about small dollars here. With just about 22 life insurance companies we've been auditing over the last 5 years, we've discovered nearly over half a billion dollars, $550 million in unpaid life insurance benefits. This is policies that were owed after someone died. We don't want that ever to happen again.
Has there been any pushback against this legislation from insurance companies? Anything pending in court right now about this?
Well, I sent a letter to one insurance company and said we'd like to audit you to see, to make sure you've actually paid out all the benefits that are promised. They responded with a lawsuit. I think we're currently in the midst of negotiations with that company. But, yeah, there was a lot of pushback to the legislation from the insurance industry. But this was something, in my mind, was very clear pro-consumer action to make sure that when someone buys a life insurance policy, faithfully makes their payments, and they die, their loved ones should get paid. That is a simple thing. One person told me, we followed the law. We did everything right. I said, okay, you might have followed the letter of the law. You might have gone through those loopholes, but you did not do everything right if you didn't honor the promise you made to the deceased.